You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Te Pāti Māori MPs Debbie Ngāre-Wāpaka, Rā Wiriwaititi and Hannah Rafferty Maipi Clark had been suspended in Parliament. Co-leaders Ngāre-Wāpaka and Waititi faced a suspension of 21 days, with Maipi Clark facing a suspension of 7 days over their haka in Parliament during the first reading of the Treaty Principles Bill last year. I spoke to Margaret Mutu, a Māori Studies professor at the University of Auckland, about the ruling and what impacts this will have on the party heading forward. What did the haka represent to you? Could it have been perceived in an intimidating manner?
I guess that if you hadn't been anywhere near New Zealand and knew absolutely nothing about the Māori culture, maybe you might get intimidated. But if you were born and brought up in this country, and for a lot of people elsewhere around the world as well, they know what the haka is about. The haka is something that we perform at any time, and there are all sorts of situations in which it's appropriate. But this one is when you have been grossly insulted and, you know, it keeps on at you. A haka is a most appropriate response. But we do it at the beginning of rugby games. We do it if there's something really great to celebrate. We do it whenever there is heightened emotion around something. A haka is appropriate. So you have to be living in a bubble that has nothing to do with this country to be intimidated by a haka.
Was this a fair ruling? And if not, why?
No, it most definitely was not a fair ruling. Now, in Parliament and in Pākehā culture and the rule of law, they operate by precedent. And the precedent here was that Robert Muldoon, after having already been censured once in Parliament, was censured for a second time and suspended for 3 days. And that was a gross overstepping of the rules of Parliament. Now, this was the performance of a haka. Now, a haka has been performed in Parliament many times. I found a reference not long ago to Sir Apirana Ngata having performed a haka in Parliament in 1937, when the Pākehā Parliament stole the petroleum resources of the country. He performed a haka. Now, we've seen it performed many, many times, but I think there was a very clear element of fury and anger on the part of the government parties, ACT and New Zealand First in particular, but also Judith Collins, representing National, absolutely furious with the Māori Party for the amount of attention and particularly the international attention they had attracted in the performance of that haka. And the way I see it was, this was the Pākehā Parliament, and it is a Pākehā Parliament, saying, you abide by my rules or I will punish you until you do abide by my rules. And if you are Māori, you may not do anything in this parliament unless I give you permission to do it, and it has to be something that I find acceptable and doesn't offend me in any way. But I think this was more about the Māori Party made the New Zealand government look stupid over the Treaty Principles Bill, and they were taking revenge, and revenge is never about anything being fair and anything being right. It was obviously a personal attack on those individuals. There's nothing right about what was done with this, reaching this decision of the Privileges Committee. And in the long term, what it has done internationally, and I have been monitoring the overseas media coverage of this, it has certainly brought the New Zealand government, the New Zealand Parliament, into disrepute. It has painted the New Zealand Parliament as a deeply racist parliament.
So what you are saying essentially is that the international attention and the amount of attention the haka received has sort of had an impact on the suspension and this ruling.
Yes, it has, because when the haka was performed, it went viral. The video of it went viral, and there were hundreds of millions of viewings of it on social media around the world. But the thing was that international media took a very, very close interest in what was happening. They started asking questions about Te Tiriti o Waitangi. They started asking questions about what has happened to Māori and why are Māori doing this sort of thing. So So what it did was it highlighted the very racist approach that the New Zealand Parliament has always taken to Māori, remembering that this Parliament was set up in violation of the treaty. Māori were absolutely furious when it was set up at the beginning of the 1850s without any consultation, without permission, without discussion with Māori. It was Māori who invited Pākehā to come and live in this country. But remember, this is a Māori country, and we are the ones who hold sovereignty in this country. And they go and set up a parliament in complete breach of that. The parliament is illegal, but they set it up, and Māori said, you set it up, we are going to be part of it. Now, they set that parliament up in the early 1850s. I think it was authorised in 1852. Māori could not get representation in there until 1868. And when we did get in there, it has always been the case that we don't want you in here. This is a Pākehā parliament. We decide everything that goes on in here. We don't really want you here. If you are going to be here, you either keep your mouth shut or you do what we tell you.
Could such a harsh sentence for Te Pāti Māori have any repercussions for the government heading forward, especially heading into next year's general election?
I think so, because what this has done is the Privileges Committee, which is usually very even-handed and usually tries to reach decisions by consensus, so, you know, across both government and opposition, broke that rule, and now the Privileges Committee is now weaponized to attack the opposition. And that takes away, I mean, that's what brings Parliament into disrepute, is when you have fundamental rules to ensure fairness that are completely ignored by the government of the day. And if you're going to bring your own parliament into disrepute like that, I would say that I'd be very surprised if the electorate doesn't have something pretty harsh to say about that.
Does a ruling like this go against Te Tiriti o Waitangi?
Absolutely, because Te Tiriti o Waitangi is really clear that the rangatiratanga, the exercise of mana, the exercise of power and authority in this country lies with the rangatira of the hapu. But they do give to the Queen of England, they devolve to the Queen of England kāwanatanga. Now, kāwanatanga is the exercise of self-management over Pākehā to stop Pākehā lawlessness and to make sure that Māori are protected from anything that Pākehā may do. The treaty is really, really clear about that. So to have Pākehā say, Māori, you didn't do what I told you to do. You don't behave yourself how I've told you you must behave. I therefore throw you out. That is a direct violation of Te Tiriti. They have absolutely no right whatsoever to do that.
And what do you believe would have been an adequate response to the MP's haka in Parliament?
Well, quite frankly, we see these all the time. And, you know, it lasts for 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And that is a perfectly fitting response to what was going on. You just carry on. There was no need to do anything. This was a very, you know, it was a very performative response to a gross insult that was the introduction of the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi Bill, a bill that looked to wipe out Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So this was a very measured and very disciplined formal response to a gross insult. It was performed, and if Parliament knew anything about tikanga, you know that you sit and you face a haka that is being performed. You take on board the fact that you have grossly upset your host and you carry on. So as far as I can see, in terms of the tikanga, in terms of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, the point was made. You have grossly insulted us. We will demonstrate to you that you have grossly insulted us. Now don't do it again. Carry on with your work.
That was the University of Auckland's Margaret Mutu on the suspension of Te Pāti Māori MPs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.